This is Artist Stories, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. I'm your host, Ava Romero. Today, I'm with Chris Seidman, Executive Director of Unscrewed Theater, a nonprofit improv school and performance space located in central Tucson. Welcome, Chris.
Well, thank you, Ava.
Chris.
Yes.
Could you start by telling us about your path to improv?
Oh, my path. My path to improv. Well, I would say that my path to improv started very young. I did not know that my path would take me to improv, but from an early age, I was interested in entertainment. I loved television. I loved the movies. I would be the kid who is under 10 years old who would beg his parents to stay up to watch the Academy Awards. And so, and actually, I do have a story. I remember the year that The Elephant Man was nominated. They showed a clip from that, and I stayed up all night. My parents had to stay up all night with me because I was scared. But I was that kid. You know, other kids would read the sports page. I would read the entertainment page. And so I knew early on that I wanted to do something in entertainment. And I was born and raised in Southern California, probably about 30 or 40 miles outside of Hollywood and where the entertainment was being made. And well, if I had known what I know now, if I could give myself advice at that age, I would tell myself to just move that 30 miles and just do what I was doing in Orange County, which was working crappy temp jobs, because you can work crappy temp jobs in Hollywood and be closer to doing what you wanted to do. But for some reason with me, that didn't connect. And so I loved theater. I was in theater all 4 years in high school. And then after that, the theater kind of fell away. I was more concerned with getting a job, paying the rent, getting a roof over my head, things like that. And so I didn't really revisit theater until I moved to Tucson in 2004. I moved here without much of a social network. I didn't have a job. I didn't have a car. So I was really kind of rebuilding from the ground up. And at that time, I talked to one of my friends that I was in theater in high school with, and he was living in Eugene, Oregon. And he told me he was doing something called Comedy Sports, which is improv. It's like a brand of improv. It's similar to the short scenes in games that they play on Whose Line Is It Anyway, which I was a big fan of. And so I said, oh, okay, well, that sounds interesting. I wonder if there is any kind of improv here in Tucson. And so I went to the internet. Luckily, in 2004, the internet was around, and I found Not Burnt Out, Just Unscrewed. That is the improv troupe that I still am a member of 14 years later. And I didn't know what they were about, but I made a deal with myself that if I went to one of their shows and I thought I could hang with the people who were performing, I would pursue it. And so here I am 14 years later.
Wow, 14 years.
Yeah. That's a lot of shows. That's a lot of jokes that bombed, but a lot of successful jokes too.
So there was a part of your story that I think is worth recounting, that part of the reason perhaps why you didn't go to Hollywood was maybe because of your parents' advice.
It's possible, yeah. I was, as I said, interested in entertainment from an early age, and my parents were supportive, but they were also very cautious. They wanted me to go, why don't you go to college first? Why don't you have a backup plan? They were only looking out for my best interest, and maybe in hindsight, maybe looking out for their best interest so that they wouldn't have a failing actor living on their couch till he was 35 years old. And so I would say, if there is any advice I could give, if you feel that passion, if you feel that pull, to follow it, to go for it. One of the things that we learn in improv is to make a choice and then figure out what to do from there. And so I would give that advice as well.
Could you tell us about the early days of Not Burned Out, Just Unscrewed, and then how that evolved into Unscrewed Theater?
So, like I said, I joined Not Burnt Out, Just Unscrewed in 2005. And at that point, the troupe had been together for 3 years. And so by the time I got there, there was a core there. And they were performing in different random venues, any place we could get a performance, basically. Places like coffee shops, restaurants. There was a bar called Vaudeville Cabaret on Congress Street, right next door to the Grill. If anybody out there in podcast land remembers the Grill and their tater tots. So we would
can't forget those tater tots.
Exactly. Well, if you perform a show at Vaudeville Cabaret for three people in the back of the bar and they tell you to keep it down, you really look forward to eating those tater tots afterwards, drowning your sorrows in tater tots. And so that's what we would do as a troupe. We had a person, his name was Mark White, who was the catalyst. He was the person who drove the process and would go into these places and basically do cold calls and get us a performance. And then we would do the show and then either get asked back or not. And it happened that way for a very long time. We would perform at Bookman's on Speedway and Wilmot, and we would perform there once a month, usually on a Friday. Eventually, we got into a rhythm where we were performing free shows on a regular basis. The shows would be family friendly because we never knew who would show up at the shows, and we wanted to make it accessible, but not necessarily have them be geared towards children, but we wanted to make it accessible to families and do material that is funny, that everyone could enjoy, and then the parents would not have to explain anything to the kids on the way home. And so we would accept donations, we would pass the hat, basically, and take all of that money and put it in a bank account for the troupe. Eventually, we got to the point where we were able to rent a rehearsal space. I know that I've been asked, well, how do you rehearse improv? You know, you can't plan anything. And our rehearsals generally consist of us just being in the same room. That's important for that team concept, is to meet on a regular basis, for us to connect with each other and just do random scenes. From that rehearsal space, we started teaching classes. So we were able to get more money to put away in our bank account. And we got to the point where we were performing at a different location every Friday night. And in that time period, we noticed that we were attracting regular fans. We were getting these consistent gigs, and it was probably about 7 years ago that we collectively said, okay, well then, rather than us traveling around town, why don't we get a central location and have people come to us? A brick and mortar theater, that would be our home. And that is where the idea of Unscrewed Theater was born.
Do you ever miss that feeling of bringing improv to the people, maybe even surprising people with improv?
Yes and no, because there are some people who don't want the improv brought to them. It's great to have our space. When people walk in there, they know what to expect. There were times that people were not expecting, you know, we would be performing in a bar and people would want to have their own conversations and would treat us as a nuisance. And as a performer with a performer's ego and a performer's insecurities, that was not a great feeling. However, on the other hand, I do love doing offsite shows. As a matter of fact, we just performed at Cyclovia. We were in front of the Rogue Theater and they had to yell for the people to stop and notice. And sometimes they would stop for a minute and a half. Sometimes they would stop and stay there for the whole 20-minute set, you know? And it's that kind of unpredictability and excitement and really trying to work to get the audience engaged that is rewarding and fun and different and challenging. And so I still do love performing outside of the theater.
What is the profile of, like, what kind of people do improv?
That's a really good question. And it runs the gamut. There are extroverts. There are people who love being on stage saying, look at me, and being loud and boisterous. There are also people who are very retiring and shy, introverts. And when they are off stage, they are very timid. But when they get on stage, it's like they open up. They get to be somebody other than themselves. We have some people who have decades of theater experience. We have some people who took our improv class a couple of years ago and fell in love with it and want to continue.
Sounds like a lot of personalities.
Oh, a lot of personalities. Yeah, I mean, we, you know, it is like a family. I mean, it can be like a family. And there are dynamics and personality conflicts and a lot of support and a lot of caring for each other. Because when you're on stage with somebody, you have to have that trust for the theater to be successful, because it is unscripted. You're working together to create entertainment in front of paying customers. Mm-hmm.
I know that Unscrewed Theater does team building exercises in corporate environments and in all kinds of different environments. I was wondering if you could tell us what it's like to lead those workshops or to do improv in a more corporate environment.
We've done workshops with trial lawyers, actually, through the U of A, and they wanted to be focused on just thinking on your feet, because as a trial lawyer, you can prepare as much as you can. But when you are in the middle of a trial and something comes up that you did not expect or you did not plan for, you have to be in the moment and you have to think on your feet and look very professional as you do it. And so the skills that we use on stage to create the improv and create the theater that we do can be applied to a corporate or a business environment. There are people who really get into the spirit of it, and there are some people who have a very structured mentality. But as we're doing these exercises where you can make any choice, I can see they're going through the spreadsheet in their head, right? They're weighing all of their options, making all of their choices. And it's fun for me to say to those kind of people, any choice you make is the right choice, because that's what improv is all about. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about making a choice and committing to it and moving forward with it. And so that can be enlightening to some people. And some people, it can validate what they do already.
I had a therapist once who I was really agonizing over a decision with. And she said, you know, I think you need to think of this decision as just arbitrary. And I was like, wow, I could make an arbitrary choice. That was so freeing.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
And I try to apply that to as much of my life as possible. It can also make it easier to deal with mistakes because everybody makes a mistake. And there are many people who strive for perfection, which is an amazing goal. But it's not the end of the world to make a mistake. We all do it. To deal with the mistake, to either call it out, recognize it, and put it behind you as quickly as possible, and get on with the next thing is very important. Because if you don't, then you're going to be dwelling on that. You're going to be in your head thinking about it and beating yourself up about it and not being able to contribute to anything going forward. We have to put any perceived mistakes behind us almost immediately so we can still be there for the person that we're doing a scene with. And it sometimes it's not easy.
Well, and just that concept of being able, one, being free to make mistakes, and then two, being free to move on after having made them.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of revolutionary, in an environment where, we live in a very competitive environment where it's all about, going to the right school, getting the right job, having the right connections, and never making mistakes, right? But mm-hmm. really to innovate and revolutionize and move forward in a meaningful way, mistakes, you need to be able to make mistakes and learn from them.
Yeah. Yeah, mistakes are necessary for growth and progress.
So, Chris, I wondered if we could illustrate a little bit for, let's say, people who maybe aren't familiar with Whose Line Is It Anyway by playing an improv game.
Absolutely. All right. So what I would ask of you, and this is what we do in our Friday and Saturday shows, is we get a suggestion from the audience. If you come to one of our shows, it's very interactive, but it's as interactive as you want to be. So the suggestion that I'd like to get from you is just a letter of the alphabet.
How about the letter F?
F. All right. As in Frank. All right. So this is a game called ABC. And what's going to happen is you and I are going to create an improv scene right here in this recording booth. And I will start. And the first letter of the first word of the first line of the scene will start with an F. And then the next line will be a G. And then the next line will be an H. And so on, until we get back to F. And we'll see what happens.
This requires me to know the alphabet.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Unfortunately, we don't have an audience here to help us in case we get lost. Okay, so we are going to start ABC. The letter is F, and action. Felicity, it's so great to see you again. It's been too long.
Great. Is that the word that you really want to use?
How can you sit over there and correct my English after not seeing each other for 20 years?
How? Oh, boy. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Just forget about what happened on prom night. That's so much in the past.
Kidding me. You must be.
Look, I understand that it's probably insensitive to just sweep that under the rug. I didn't get you a corsage, and every day I regret it.
Maybe you didn't get all those pictures of corsages that I sent you for months leading up to prom?
Nah. Don't think I got them.
Okay.
Please, can you forgive me?
Quiet yourself down. You're making a scene.
Right. This is a busy restaurant. I will try to keep my emotions to myself.
So you really think I'm going to accept that apology?
Trying to help? Tried.
Usually, I wouldn't let this go. But I'm having a good day.
Very kind. Very, very kind of you. I thank you. I'm very grateful.
Why don't we start over then?
Xanax? I'm sorry. That's probably too forward. I know that it's not your prescription.
You know me so well.
Zowie. It's like we're right back in high school again, Felicity.
Across the street, there's a movie theater. Do you want to go catch a show?
Boy, do I.
Charlize Theron is in it.
Didn't you once get mistaken for her? Probably more than once.
Every day.
Felicity, I think this is the beginning of another beautiful friendship. And scene.
Yay. That was fun. It's kind of hard to remember the alphabet.
It is. And do like two other things at once. That is actually one of the great things about improv, is because it works different parts of your brain at the same time. Sometimes it can be very challenging, which is something that we deal with in our classes. We have people who don't even want to be anywhere near a stage. They just want to kind of step outside their comfort zone, maybe get a little bit more confidence, work the both sides of their brain, and just find a different way of thinking or approaching life.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Chris.
Well, it's my pleasure.
This has been Artist Stories with Ava Romero, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. To listen to more podcasts, visit kxci.org. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County.